Tamam. No, but bad chance. I ain't gonna tell nobody.
All right. I can go loud enough. We don't necessarily always need a mic, but it helps. What happened? Or teachings. Understand Yah's likes and dislikes. I mean, we know that's important. We need to know what he expects from us as followers of Yeshua. We need to know what he likes, what he doesn't like. That way, we're not in trouble. You know that a lot of people in this world is going to be in trouble. But they don't know what he likes. They don't know what he doesn't like. They think everything is just fair game. You know, this past week I heard a lot of crazy things in some people's teaching and theologies. But I like what Pastor said a week ago. When you stand before him or when you're kneeling before him, what do you think he's going to be judged by? I thought about that. But your ideas on what you think what scripture is or by his laws, if we obeyed him or not. But I thought that was a very important statement. So we're going to continue. Vayikra, Hebrew for, and he called. And we know that he called because he called Moshe from the tent of meetings. So let me go to slide 90 and pick up where we left off. If one was not skilled in this regard, can you imagine if the one bringing the bull did not know how to do these? We're talking about slaying the bull at the tent of meeting. If you brought a bull, there would be chaos, especially when dealing with a 1,000-pound bull. If the animal was not slaughtered and divided in a skilled manner and with precision, the sacrifice would not be accepted to Yehovah. I got a little chance to share with Pastor one time of a experience one time, but it was with a pig, of course. How years ago we used to slaughter the pig, and it was with one of my old uncles that's died now. And he said, man, we were all young men, really. I mean, 20 years old, me and some of them boys from Grand Bay, and we were tough. And this pig was only about 400 or 500 pounds. And he said, "What, my little boy?" He used to tell us, "My little boy, you want me to Uncle Munch to hit him over the head?" I said, "Oh no, Uncle, we want him scream." Big mistake. And 4 or 5 of us, like I said, it wasn't even a 1,000-pound bull, just a nice sized pig. When he stuck it the first time, that pig went to jumping. I told Pat, like a big flounder on the plank walk. We could not hold it down. So I could imagine this. And we thought we were. So if it wasn't, so you had to do this right. Because if not, that was chaos. You made a bull very mad. So this is a huge lesson for us, as we must realize that we cannot draw close to Yehovah any which way we feel, with just a quick prayer in our heart, and think that we will be heard and accepted. Michelle, Proverbs 15:8, the slaughtering of the wrong is an abomination to Yehovah, but the prayer of the straight is his delight. So we have to, Aaron, as high priest, had to make sure everything was done what Moshe said. That was just, he didn't come there just slouched over, "Yeah, I got it today and I know what to do." He didn't have that attitude. Sometimes I think some of us, we got that attitude, "Yeah, it's okay, it's just Wednesday night, or it's just Friday night, and it'll be accepted." He says the slaughtering is an abomination if we don't get it right. I don't want to wait until I'm before him. He tells me, "I see you did all these things right. You did good, but depart from me." That's troubling words. Every time I think about that scripture all the time, because this world of believers, that people that we know, family, is being deceived by some of this nonsense that's out there. I mean, because there's no way possible that you're telling me that you're doing things in Yeshua's name, and you prophesying in his name, you're casting out demons in his name. That's powerful. Yet he said, "Depart from me, I don't know you, because you're workers of iniquity." You got to finish reading that little sentence, you know. And you'd be surprised how some people, when they just, they stop at the false finish lines. We have to, this thing goes more than we could ever imagine. These slides are very serious when you read these offerings. I know that they, every year we go through them, but every year we get deeper and deeper in them. And it's, thank you, sir. For some reason I'm in the hot seat this evening. I asked about this. I said, "You sure, brother?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I got this." And here I am today. But look, it's a privilege and honor to come here before y'all and be able to do some of these slides and teachings. But like I said, we have to do it his way. I can't do it Scott's way. I can't do it pastor's way. There's one shepherd that we need to follow, and that's the head. And we'll get later on into the head. We'll talk about that. But I'm so thankful for our leader that leads us. Yesterday, I was doubting him. I tell you, when he was going out there, I told my wife, my in-laws, I'm following behind him because I said, I can't leave my wingman. I told him popping on the radio. Man, I'm funny and following Pastor. And man, I'm wilding them swells and I'm watching him going. I'm like, I'm even wondering if I'm even following Pastor still anymore. I sure hope I'm following. Oh, boy. Drawing near to Yehovah requires skill and precision in hearing, guarding, and doing all his commands. And in order to do that, we ought to be diligent hearing and doing people. So we can't just be hearers only. You know, because this is real good stuff. Time to put this together, to read through it. But if we're not doing nothing, if we're just standing there idle, and we know Yeshua talked about being idle in one of his parables. Why are you standing idle? I don't care what time of the day it was. 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock, even right before knockoff time, he still hired some people and still paid him for a full day's pay. We can't just stand here idle and not do anything, thinking that we're good. Drawing near to Elohim is not as easy and simple as twisted Christian theology makes it sound. When they say things like, oh, just come to the front and receive the Savior, and all will be accepted and fine. No, it doesn't work like that. The tabernacle is a picture of the kingdom and the kingdom rules and instructions for righteous living. So if we expect someone else to do the dirty work for us, even Yeshua, we are violating a kingdom principle. How important is that? Because a lot of people today think that's, you just believe, and it's okay to interact with everything in the world. Man, I'm wondering how the scripture fits when it says, come out from among them and be separate. You're not being separate if you're partaking in things that they're doing. Let's just pick one, Mardi Gras, for instance. We got believers out there interacting with them. What did he say right here? Really? He nailed it to the cross, so, I mean, what did he die for? What did he give his life for? If we don't think we don't have any rules to follow, we can just hang out like we want to. Eat whatever we want to. Wear whatever we want to. Go in places because it's okay. He'll understand. You know, he told about a parable. Yeshua talked about a man coming into the kingdom and into the wedding feast. And he says, friend. He even called him friend. He said, how'd you get in here? He said, the man was speechless. He said, and where's your wedding clothes? You're unprepared. We can't get in, expect to get in and not even have the wedding clothes if we invite to the banquet. But this is what we're talking about. His kingdom has rules. And to be in that kingdom, we have to obey those rules. I mean, I don't get a free pass. If you got a free pass card, maybe we can make copies. Because that's what it seems to be the theme in today's teaching out there in the world. And not to say in the world, in other churches. You know, it's just, it's okay. And I really don't get it. There are parts we cannot do. The priest will handle the blood and take it to the altar where we cannot come. And for that, we are grateful. And so we are truly thankful that Yeshua Messiah offered up his own blood for us and, as high priest, could handle the blood and sprinkle it on the heavenly slaughter place once for all. However, we have a part in it too. In our drawing near, which requires skill, as each one of us is responsible to acquire knowledge, discernment, and skill, being presentable before Elohim. I mean, can you imagine the high priest Aaron going in there with the blood? He had to on his ear and his great toe and his thumb. I think it was Tom Poso, yeah. And to come in there and to make sure he had to do right by putting it on the horns of the altar. Couldn't just go in there and just put it any kind of way. But now Yeshua, here he is as our high priest, making intercession for it, to where we couldn't even go into the Holy of Holies. I mean, that's, I could imagine the people that were there just watching from the outside. You know, but he had to make sure that he made his sacrifice for himself, his family, then for the people, the sins for the people. This was a big thing when you start reading with all what's going on. I know, like I said, it just seemed like time when you're just reading, it's like, man, it seems like it's overwhelming, but this was serious, especially for us today. You can imagine we still had to do this right now just to make atonement for our sins. Timotheus Bait, 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your utmost to present yourself approved to Elohim, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Yeshua said, if you're ashamed of me in this perverse generation, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and the heavenly angels. Man, they don't care. That's things that go on today, unbelievable. So if we're going to make a stand, now's the time. I mean, what do we have to lose? A lot. You got to think, eternity or it just doesn't weigh out. Kepha Bait, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. And for this reason, do your utmost to add to your belief uprightness. To uprightness, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, endurance. To endurance, reverence. To reverence, brotherly affection. And to brotherly affection, love. Man, we experienced some of that for the past 3 days. It's so nice to be working together as brothers. You know, we had such a great time, you know, entertaining the guys that, you know, you can hear the conversation are totally different when we're speaking. But that's what you are. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word. Just be that salt and that light. And just toward the end, when one of the guys was leaving, he said, God bless you. He told me. Like I said, sometimes you don't have to say a word to them. They know. They'll pick up on little things. But, I mean, just the brotherly kindness and the knowledge. I've learned a few things in the past few days on what to do and what not to do. And, boy, we'll talk about that later some other time. For if these things are in you and increase, they cause you to be neither inactive nor without fruit in the knowledge of our Master Yeshua Messiah. For he in whom these are not blind, present is blind. Well, I mean, he seems so small. For he in whom these are not present is blind, being short-sighted, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. For this reason, brothers, all the more to do your utmost to make firm your calling and choosing, for if you are doing these matters, you shall never stumble at all. I thought that was a hallelujah right there. Because, man, when I read that, I stopped right there the first time. I started reading the script. I had to go back and read that one again that morning. And this one kind of really stuck out. But this is what the Torah teaches. We should be practicing brotherly love and kindness, endurance, self-control, belief, and uprightness. These are fruits of the Spirit that we need to learn. And that's the reason for the Torah. You know, if we go all the way to the back of the book, we're not learning these things. We should have done, like my brother would say, we should have learned them already. Amen. The Ola offering symbolizes complete dedication and giving of our all. As we offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice, as we have laid our hands on the head, Messiah, so that we can be pleasing and presenting to him our reasonable worship that is due. Trust me, we owe him our all. Because without him, none of us, we might as well close the building, pack the church up, go home, and forget about what we are learning. Because we can't go past, he is the door, he is the vibe. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And truly, in the Hebrew alphabet, he is Alpha and Omega. We know he's not the Most High, but he represents every letter in that Torah. I mean, in the Hebrew alphabet. You can see him in every letter. And it's so amazing. So we, without him, he said, without me, you can do nothing. That's period. In Romans 12, 1 and 2. I call upon you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion of Elohim, to present your bodies as living offering, set apart, well-pleasing to Elohim, your reasonable worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you prove what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim. Man, it requires a lot. It's a lot of work. We had to put our, when we wake up in the morning, whatever time you wake up in the evening, our mind should be focused on him, thanking him for the breath in our lungs. Our eyes are healthy to see the sunrise. I know sometimes we got our aches and pains. You know, we go through things. It's life. You know, we're created for a purpose. And it's what? To serve him, to do what he wants to do. Because after all, he owns it all. It's all his. We might be taking care of it right now, being good stewards of what he entrusted us to, but he owns it all. The offering from the herd would be slain before Yehovah and blood sprinkled all around the slaughter place. The ascending offering from the flock would be slain on the north side and blood sprinkled all around. And these slaughterings were done by the one presenting the offering while the priest would handle the blood. And with the ascending offering of the birds, the priest would handle everything. He would sever its neck, not completely, and take out the crop and throw it out on the east side, place for ashes, and drain out the blood on the side of the slaughter place. Everything had to be in order. He can just throw the blood anywhere. You know, why not say the south side? He said the north side. He said the priest is going to take care of the bird. He's going to take, I had to look up the word crop. I said, I don't even know what a crop is in the bird. So I had to look that up. Yeah, it's like the best thing, they show pictures of it, but it's like the stomach part kind of before it gets to the stomach, before it's the digestive system. So, hey, you learn by these slides. They're helpful. You know, people just, I bet you ask some people, what is the crop? They probably don't even know. You'd be surprised with some people. I don't know. But anyway, you can see everything is done in order here. It couldn't just be done any kind of way. That's the point I'm trying to make. So we can't come before him just any kind of way. My Shabbat is going to be on Sunday. Really? You know, that's what I've heard. That's what people say. Oh, I can come any day. Any day is Shabbat. No, it's not. In order to gain a deeper understanding of significance of the ascending offering, the Olah, let us take a look at this word in its ancient pictographic form. In the ancient pictographic script, the Hebrew word for ascending offering, Olah, Strong's 5930, and the word for up, Allah, Strong's 5927, looks like this. The original pictograph for this letter is Ayin and represents the idea of seeing and watching as well as knowledge, as the eye is the window of knowledge. The ancient script has this letter as as Lamed. And is pictured as a shepherd's staff. I'm gonna get grilled for this one. and it's pictured as a shepherd's staff, can give the meaning of to or toward, and can represent that which pushes or pulls a flock in a direction, and can speak of authority or a yoke that is used to lead and guide, as well as the ability to bring back by authority. I remember when I built that staff at the house, I was so proud to build one for Pastor, build one for my brother. It was exciting, though. That was an exciting time for the Passover. The hay, the ancient script has this letter pictured as hay, which is a man standing with his arm raised out. The meaning of this letter is behold, look, breathe, sigh, and reveal or revelation. From the ideal of revealing a great sight by pointing it out. It also carries for us the meaning of surrender. As we lift up our hands and submit to Yehovah, as we lift our hands in praise, declaring his authority under which we humbly submit. That is so powerful. When considering the ascending offering and the clear Torah of this offering that requires the fire to never be put out, we are able to recognize the clear lesson portrayed in this pictographic rendering, in this pictograph rendering of this word, Olah, Strong's 5930, which teaches us how we are to have our eyes continually fixed upon our shepherd, who is to be praised. In terms of the ascending offering, these letters can render the meaning, looking to the good shepherd who is to be praised. And I know that we sing in these songs sometimes. He deserves all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. He truly does. I mean, giving up his life, knowing in the garden what he had to do. I mean, that was the only way. And to give up his life, that took a lot. It really did. And I think I shared with Brother Chad a while back. I was talking. I said, that's the kind of love we need. He said, because greater love had no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. With the eye representing knowledge and experience, we can also see how this can render our need to continually experience the staff as we lift up our hands in surrendered praise. And this ought to be reflected in our lives being a daily living offering that is well-pleasing to our Master and Good Shepherd. As we go through this Torah portion, we take note that the deer requirement for the animals that were to be brought. To be brought for the various offerings was that they were to be perfect. Couldn't just go get anything, any lamb out of the flock. But because he looked good, he had to be perfect, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And we had to do it to take it and nourish it and take care of it. Right when you he wants you to feel it, because some people are real animal lovers. I never really, to my knowledge, I've never really been really a whole lot attached to animals, but some people are. And then you had to take it and slaughter that animal. I think now I'm getting a little more sentimental now, because I was telling my wife there was a pelican on the dock yesterday. He had a broke beak. Half of his beak was gone, and part of it was all chewed up, so he couldn't really grab any food. And I was watching. It was a male. Because of that, I kind of felt sorry for the thing. You know, he couldn't really catch food like the other one. So I was hand feeding him. He had almost my whole hand in his mouth, but I was trying to feed him because I kind of felt sorry for the poor animal. I got the Torah, the Torah teaches. I mean, it's his creation. He made it. You know, I know we want to shoo them because they get messy and smelly, but man, I almost got a little compassion for that poor pelican. I really did. Oh, man. The Hebrew word that is used here for perfect is Kamin, Strong's 8549, which means perfect, without blemish, complete, sound, and blameless, without defect. We know that Yeshua fit every one of these. He was the perfect lamb. He was without spot, without blemish. And that's how we or to present ourselves before Yehovah. But I know we're human and we make mistakes. But we don't. It's not intentionally that we're going to do things. But we ought to do our best to be perfect. And why? What did he say? Be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Now we see the requirements for these animals to be tamim. Strong's 85:49. We're able to see how Yeshua, our high priest, met the requirements of all these offerings in being a blameless, perfect, complete sacrifice without defect. I just said that. I bring Hebrews 7:26. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, kind, innocent, undefiled, having been separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. Hebrews 9:11-14, but Messiah, having become high priest of the coming good news through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, entered into the most holy, the most set apart place once for all, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, having obtained everlasting redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the defiled, set apart for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the everlasting Spirit offered himself unblemished to Elohim, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? That's a mouthful. I'm telling you, that blood was spotless, sinless, pure. Man, it's just, when you think about it, you know, you think about the whole thing, what he done for us. We can't even wrap our mind around it. But we're so thankful because we were in a bind. That's about the best we can put it. And some people have been in a bind. I was in a bind yesterday. And let me tell you, this is much more serious than the bind I was in. But back then in my nervousness, I was in a bind. I'm so thankful for him today that I got this second chance, new life, because without it, like he said, he can do nothing. Kephah Aleph, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were redeemed from your futile behavior, inherited from your fathers, from who? Our fathers, not with what is corrupt, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Messiah as a lamb unblemished and spotless. You know, we've learned a lot of junk in the past. You know, some stuff that got us here today, some skills that we needed to endure, some stuff we got to let go of because it's just bring a curse upon us. And what we do, if we don't break free from that, we're going to carry that on to the next generation. I don't want to do that no more. I've done all these things. Laws for the grain offering. Oh, we're in chapter 2. And when anyone brings a grain offering to Yehovah, his offering is to be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall bring it to the sons of Aharon, the priest, and he shall take from it his hand filled with fine flour and oil with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a remembrance portion on the slaughter place, an offering made by fire, a sweet fragrance to Yehovah. He was that fine flour. He was the one they poured oil on. We can find these verses in the scripture. They poured sweet fragrance on him. The lady with the alabaster box poured sweet fragrance on him. You can see everything, every little detail in the Torah. You can trace all the way back to Yeshua. It's amazing. And the rest of the grain offering is for Aharon and his sons, most set apart of the offerings to Yehovah by fire. And when you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in the oven, it is of unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened thin cakes anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering on the griddle, it is of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. Divide it into bits and pour all on it. It is a grain offering. And if your offering is a grain offering in a stewing pot, it is made of fine flour with oil. And you shall bring to Yehovah the grain offering that is made of these, and shall present it to the priest. And he shall bring it to the slaughter place. And the priest shall take from the grain offering a remembrance portion, and burn it on the slaughter place, an offering made by fire, a sweet fragrance to Yehovah. And the rest of the grain offering is for Aharon and his sons, most set apart of the offerings to Yehovah made by fire. No grain offering which you bring to Yehovah is made with leaven, for you do not burn any leaven or any honey in an offering to Yehovah made by fire. You know, that's a reason for all that. And I'm sure that's coming up, because we're going to get to all this leaven and take the leaven out, and a week later I put the leaven back in. But then bring them to Yehovah as an offering of the first fruits. They are not burned on the slaughter place for a sweet fragrance. And season with salt every offering of your grain offering. Do not allow the salt of your covenant of your Elohim to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offering, you bring salt. And if you bring a grain offering of your first fruit to Yehovah, bring for the grain offering a offering of your first fruit, green heads of grain roasted on fire, crushed heads of new grain. And you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. And the priest shall burn the remembrance portion for its crushed grain and from its oil, with all the frankincense, an offering made by fire to Yehovah. Everything had to be done in order. And we know that everything was done in order because, like you said, Yehovah came down. And the scripture says not even Moshe was able to even enter. And I thought about that presence, because I was telling my wife about it. The whole time he's up in the mountain, he's in the presence of Yehovah. But this time, He couldn't even come before him, because it, just the smoke that filled the tabernacle, the tent, of how powerful that was. But yet he was up in the mountain 40 days at a time, and he was before Yehovah, and I'm sure there was fire and smoke there, but this time there was something different. Once again, we see how important all this was. Don't let your salt be lacking. That was important. I think about that because we are the salt. We're going to get into somebody that we are the salt. We are the light. We can't be lacking before him. We truly have to give him our all that he prescribes for us. I mean, he gave his all, and what do we want? We still want more. Chapter 2, grain offering, 2:1-16. Once again, the word you hear for offering is korban, Strong 7133, which, as we have mentioned, is a way to draw near to Yehovah. That's a way to draw near to him, but it's his way. This grain offering speaks of a meal offering or tribute to Yehovah, as it's seen as a tribute or a gift, and is not a part of tithes, as tithes are not gifts, as they are due by all. And to hold back on tithes is to rob Elohim. Wow. No, none of us don't want to do that. These offerings are voluntary and are above that which is required or due. The grain offering in the Hebrew is known as minhah, Strong's 4503, and means a gift, tribute, meal offering, present. This is a picture of something that a bride brings to please her husband. This is a picture of something her bride brings to her husband. Just make that clear. Oh, boy, I can't wait to go to a Jewish wedding one day. There is no blood in this offering, and therefore does not represent atonement for sin. However, it does still represent the one bringing it, and it is symbolic of the work of one's hand as it is prepared by the one bringing the offering. You know, when you read this section, I think about Cain. How Yehovah told him, if you would just do what was right, just do it right, wouldn't your offering not be accepted? So we know that the grain offering is accepted. But what was the issue? The issue was in the heart. It was lacking. He was holding back on maybe the salt. I don't know. I wasn't there. It doesn't say. But we know it was a heart condition because what happened? Slaughter. You kill his own brother. I can't imagine that. That some thoughts don't even register in my mind. But I think about that. You know, so if we don't do what's right, wouldn't Yehovah not accept us if we wouldn't be doing what's right? Once we accept the atoning work of Messiah, we must not stop there, but must rather continue daily in bringing him our all, as we clearly recognize that what we do daily does count. Everything we've done these past 3 days, I thank him for it. Because, the impression we left them, they can tell that we were something different. You know, I didn't flash my zitzis too much because we had our rain pants, but there was a couple of times that I didn't have them on. There was never a question about it. But they knew just by our speech and the way we conduct ourselves, that was something different about these guys. In the ancient pictograph script, the word minhah, Strong's 4503, which means a gift, tribute, meal offering, presented, offering, present, is pictured as the mem. The ancient script has this letter as mem and is pictured as water, and also carries the meaning of chaos from the storms of the sea, and can also picture that which is mighty or massive, as well as the unknown. And boy, I was in the mem yesterday. I kid you not. I was second-guessing myself, really. Am I really following paths? I see a boat going. In my mind, I knew it was him. But man, it talk about play tricks on you. Oh boy, we also are also able to understand this letter as representing the nation. Because what's happening today? Turn your TV on. That's chaos out there. Not even on the news this morning. He's calling out for America to go help him. There's so much chaos. I don't have time to hear the chaos. I mean, we should be aware. Don't get me wrong. But we should not be in fear of it. But we know these things. The Bible tells us. Scripture tells us that these things must happen. Must take place. Yeshua himself said that. For the nations are often likened to seas in Scripture. This also carries for us the picture of washing, as we understand the functions of water being that which cleanses us and sustains us, knowing us how we are to wash and sustain by the living waters of the Word. This letter also can represent any liquid, especially blood. The noon. The ancient pictograph script has the letter noon pictured as, which pictures a sprouting seed and gives the idea of continuation or an offering or an heir. Speaking of that which sprouts forth will be the heir of the promise of continuation and represents one's life expectancy, and can carry the meaning of new life or renewal, rebirth. Het. The ancient script has this letter as Het, which is a tent wall and carries a meaning of separation. As a tent wall separates two halves of the tent, or it can also reflect the outside wall that separates the people inside from that which is outside, and can also symbolize protection and security to those inside. Sounds like we want to be on the inside of the Het. While picturing a cutting off of those who are outside, hence this letter can mean established, secure, as well as cut off, separated from. As a tent wall, we are also able to recognize the picture of stones being built up to make a complete wall, having been separated from the world and built up in the Master. This is a serious letter. There's come a time that will be a separation. The ancient script has this letter pictured as He, which is a man standing with his arm raised out. This word can also mean behold, look, breathe, sigh, and reveal or revelation, from the idea of revealing a great sight by pointing it out. It also carries for us the meaning of surrender as we lift up our hands and submit to Yehovah, as we lift up our hands in praise, declaring his authority under which we humbly submit. I know we just had these, but the more you say them, repetition, remember we had, the more you say them, the more you practice them, the better you get at. As we look at this word in the understanding of a gift, offering, or tribute, we can see how this can represent our joy in bringing our lives daily before our Master and Redeemer as a daily living sacrifice. For here in the ancient script, we can see by this word the truth of how we who are immersed in Messiah, having died to self, are raised to new life in him to become a part of his body, that is, his tabernacle, as pictured by the tent wall, in order to offer up the daily praise due to his name. We will be. What a day that's going to be. The time that he's going to be teaching the Torah, and we're going to. It's going to be awesome. This can also be understood as, by the blood of Messiah, we, his body, have been washed, renewed, and separated unto him, and we submit and give our lives as a daily living offering. That is powerful. Hallelujah. By the blood of Messiah, we, his body, have been washed. We know we all have to be washed by the word. This is when you, how we did that a while back, how we just want to peek into it and just open it up. Let it cleanse you. Let it wash you. Renewed and separate unto him. And we submit and give our lives as a daily living offering. This offering was brought with fine flour, oil, and frankincense. And the priest would take from his hand filled with fine flour and oil and all the frankincense in remembrance portion and burn it on the slaughter place as an offering made by fire, a sweet fragrance to Yehovah. The remembrance portion. The Hebrew word for remembrance portion is Azkarah, Strong's 243, which means a memorial offering, remembrance portion, and comes from the root word Zakar, Strong's 2142, which means remember, be mindful. The remembrance portion is clearly a wonderful shadow picture of Yeshua Messiah, who is the bread of life and the head of the body that was offered up for us. Luke 22:19, and taking bread, giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. How powerful is that? We ought to remember it every time. He says, oh, I know he says one time, I think it's in the, I can't think right off hand, but he says, as often as you do it, remember me when you do it, as often as you do it. This is something special. It's time that you just spend with him to remember him, his body that was broken and bruised and beaten for him. Like the olive, when we had the olive just a while back, a few Torah portions ago. Man. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Messiah also has loved us and gave himself for us, a gift and an offering to Elohim for a sweet smelling fragrance. There you go. When you do it right, that's what you become to him, a sweet smelling fragrance. When you obey his Torah and obey his laws and his command and what he asks you to do, just be obedient. Just pay attention. You become a sweet smelling fragrance. And remember, we got to walk in love also. When we understand that we are his holy, we are his body, as we see pictured in the two loaves of bread that is presented to Yehovah as a wave offering at Shavuot, symbolizing both the two tables of his commands, our lawful bread, as well as the two houses coming together, two loaves, then we can see how Yeshua is the remembrance portion that was taken and offered up as a sweet-smelling fragrance to Yehovah. And now we too become imitators of Messiah and offer up our bodies daily as voluntary and pleasing offering, where our hearts are continually prepared by the fine and uncorrupted flour of his word and anointing with oil his spirit. Man. So much that when you read one of these slides, you can not say go on a rabbit trail, but you can go on a trail where you can find so many nuggets just to tie into some of these slides. They're so very important. Because what he says right here, be imitators of Messiah. Be a Christian. Yeah, I know, like I said, sometimes people take that, stretches that word Christian a little bit. But it actually means to be Christ-like. You know, I got to share with a guy, you know. He said, man, he was dipping some snuff in his mouth. And an older man, probably in his 60s, a guy just, you know, wanted to operate. And he said, man, you know, he said, Spider, I'm a Christian. I said, okay. I said, but you know, I said, but I just got a little issue about some people when they talk about that. But I don't know your heart. I said, but I want to tell you, that word can be used, you know, Are we really Christ-like? That was my main focus to get to him. Because he said, if I can just get rid of that. Well, you can. Just spit it out your mouth. Well, it's easy to get rid of and quit. Go and sin no more. You know, but some people, they call it an addiction. Well, it's more than just the snuff in your mouth. You have an issue. But it's in the heart. It's not just in your mouth. It's down in your heart. You can be cleansed from that. That was the point I was trying to make to him. I said, but look, I don't want to offend you by telling you that, but just I'm cautious about when some people tell me that. The remembrance portion teaches us that we are to remember that we are his. We belong to our master and Elohim, who has bought us at a price by his body and blood. We've been paid for. You said a while back, your half shekel, you've been paid. He paid the price. All debts were paid. It's up to us. What are we going to do? In the ancient pictograph script, and he paid in blood. That's the thing about it. He paid in blood. It wasn't just he paid his own blood. That's the thing. And when the king put his seal on it, it couldn't be reversed. So you see in some movies, I remember what it was one time, but it was one of them fighting movies with the sword and all. The guy would take the sword and cut it, and they stamped it with his own blood. He pledges allegiance that he was going to fight. He's not going to back down. So this is the same thing Yeshua did. He paid with his blood. it's much more deeper than movies in Hollywood. I mean, this was real. In the ancient pictograph script, Hebrew word Zakar, Strong's 2142, which means to remember, to be mindful, or bring to remembrance, is pictured as follows. I was wondering why you have that fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day. We preach this every Shabbat. You have to be remembered. Like I tell somebody, I got good memory, it's just short. So he don't want us to just forget. The ancient pictograph script has the letters pictured as Zion, which is a matop, a sharp digging tool such as an axe or pick, and carries the meaning of a weapon or tool that cuts farming instrument. The matok would be a tool that was also used to dig up the soil so that seed could be planted. This picture clearly pictures a tool that is used to work and therefore can also render for us the meaning of work or a work that is done, and more specifically, the harvest that is brought forth. What he says in the, I think it's in Jeremiah, he says, you're going to turn your weapons of war to farming tools, plowing tools. No longer the nation is going to know war. You're going to be farmers. And pop. The kaf. The ancient form of this letter is kaf, meaning the open hand or the palm. The meaning behind this letter is to bend and curve. From the shape of the palm, as well as to tame or subdue. As one has been bent to another's will under their hand, as an open hand symbolizes submission. This also can picture for us a palm or palm branch from the curved palm shape. The hand also speaks of one's work or under whose hand you submit and obey. I ain't going to go into details about that. The ancient script has this letter pictured as Resh, which is the head of a man, and carries the meaning of top, beginning, first, chief. And in being the top of the body, or the head of a tribe, and the one who rules, and also speaks of possession or inheritance that is decided by the chief, our true life of praise unto Yehovah, our head, begins when we fear him, for he is the beginning of our strength, and true separated praise entails a true fear of the one who is chief over us. And we know who is our true commander-in-chief. As we consider this root word that is understood as remember, in its pictographic form, we are able to glean the following: the harvest work by our head. He has it all planned out. What we going to do? Many of us say, well, I'm going to plant this way and I'm going to do things. He's going to have it laid out. All we have to do is just submit under the hand and everything will go fine. So it's like a sheet of plywood. If you cut with the grain, you don't cut against the grain, make it up. It makes a difference on the cut when you have to. So everything is going to be smooth when you submit to the hand. The remembrance portion of the grain offering is a very clear reminder to us that we, his body, are to make sure that we do not forget that we are his. We are therefore to remember that we are to be steadfast workers of the master of the harvest, and we do all in his name, giving our all unto him who paid the price, and we be the daily living offering. We are called to be our reasonable worship. Steadfast workers. We all have a job to do. You know, in him. We just don't come over here and get fed and go home and relax. And that's wait till the next meeting. Yeshua said, he looked out at the crowd coming. He told his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Pray that the master, send the laborers. Send help. That's people out there, our loved ones. If we just start with our loved ones, it'll just fill up in here. We, as ambassadors of his reign, have a clear commission to go and make taught ones. And here our remembrance that we are no longer slaves, but servants. We also must remember that the harvest is ripe. Matthew 9:37-38. Then he said to his taught ones, the harvest truly is great, but the workers are few. Pray then that the master of the harvest will send out workers to his harvest. This is what we're here called to do. We got to be as taught ones, learning from our leader. Because when we leave out these doors, you will encounter someone. I promise you. And somewhere down the line, we're going to encounter someone. So we need to say something. We don't just stand there with our mouth open like we don't know. We've been learning every week, day in, day out. The slides are there for us. We have no excuse. Like I said, when I got the text today, I almost tried to pass it on. I asked a brother, I said, you want to take it? I said, it's up to you. I said, I'm fine with it, but I mean, if you want it, I'll let you have it. Because I know he always got a lot to say, but I'm cool with it. I don't mind. This picture of remembrance teaches us not to give up. There you go. Don't give up. Because sometimes it's not going to be. Some weeks it ain't going to go your way. Some weeks it ain't going to go my way. You will have encounters. We have to remember who we are. We are his. Matter of fact, I think what we're just talking about, the whole world is his. Everything in it. He says from the heavens to under the sea, it's all his. Not all is going to be accepted, but it's still all his. In Luke 9:62, but Yeshua said to him, no one, having put his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the reign of Elohim. How powerful is that? Once you sign up and you say, I do, all that Moshe, all that you say, we will do, you signed up. This pictographic rendering of the word that means remember teaches us that we are to put our hand to the plow and keep our eyes on the head. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 16:12, we are told to remember that we were slaves in Mitzrayim, and we shall guard and do these laws. Remember from whence we have come from, but look where we are now. You know, every now and then your mind wants, it's going to go back to memory lane. But that's leave that back there. We can use them sometimes. It's a good tool to use, you know, to a certain extent. After that, let's get to the good part. Let's fast forward to where we're at and say, look what he's done now. We ought to remember that we were slaves in Mitzrayim. In other words, we remember that we were once not a people, but now are the people of Elohim. We sing a new song. We got a new wave going on. We were bought at a price by the blood of Messiah, our Passover lamb. And this call to remember that we were slaves in Mitzrayim is for the clear purpose of remembering who we are now. Put a big now on there too. We were once a people who were enslaved to the world and held fast under the heavy burdens of false dogmas and vain traditions of men. Oh boy. Oh boy, it's going to get serious. But now, having been delivered from the house of bondage and set free to obey the true master of all creation. This verse is very clear. Remember that you were once a slave in Mitzrayim, so now you shall obey the Torah. But I miss my leeks and my onions and all these things I used to do. I will check that. As we consider the wonderful shadow picture of the remembrance portion of the grain offering, we are reminded that we are to be the fragrance of Messiah, the bread of life. And we know that that's to be true because what they were doing back then, how we wish that we were back in Egypt. You brought us out here to die in the wilderness? They were something. No different than us today. We talk about them back there that left Egypt, how they cried back there. Some of us still do that today. Let's not kid ourselves. We fail to realize that we were slaves back then. That's why it says for us to remember. Two slides for us to remember. We have to hear, guard, and do. Those are important words. The Hebrew word that is translated as frankincense is Laban. Strong's 3835 and comes from the primitive root word Laban. Strong's 3835, which in its primitive root means to make white. Frankincense is a fragrant, milky, resinous gum in granules or granules? Yeah, that's what I said. From the trees of the genus Boswellia cattleyi or B. paphos, of the family related to the turpentine trees, crushed to powder and used as incense. Observe the Passover. This represents to us a picture of purity and being clean and made as white as snow through the blood of Messiah. All of the frankincense were offered up with the remembrance portion of fine flour and oil, which is another picture of the complete work of Messiah in bringing us his purity and cleanness. Along with our call to remember that we are to be a daily living offering, giving our all unto him. He paid that debt. He paid it in full. There was no comeback like, oh, you forgot to pay this portion, that was a little what's the word I'm looking for? Some hidden fees. There was no hidden fees. He paid it all in full. There were different ways of preparing the mincha. Firstly, as an unleavened cake baked in the oven as a cake or wafer. And secondly, prepared over the fire in a griddle, then broken in pieces, representing Yeshua's body that was broken for us. And thirdly, cooked in a pan. Verse 11. No leaven and no honey. In verse 11, we are told that no grain offering or mincha that is brought to Yehovah is to be made with leaven. For we do not burn any leaven or honey in an offering made by fire to Yehovah. The word leaven is used twice here in English. While in the Hebrew text, there are two different words that are used. In Leviticus 2:11, no grain offering which you bring to Yehovah is made with leaven. For you do not burn any leaven or any honey in an offering to Yehovah made by fire. Hamatz, Strong's 25:56, which means to be sour or leaven, or that which is leavened. which is interesting to note, that is that the Hebrew word for vinegar, Chometz, Strong's 2558, is derived from Chametz, and clearly shows that vinegar is something that should be removed from our homes for matzah, or unleavened bread. That's a new one. Sior, Strong's 7603, which means leaven, swelling by fermentation, and comes from the word sha'ar, Strong's 7604, which means to remain, left over, and to swell up. That, I'm going to tell you, boy, I remember our first Passover on the Bay, my wife and I, we try to check everything, you know, in the house, make sure all the leaven was gone before we knew about the vinegar now. But in our soda cans, we keep the rice, soda cracker can, we hide it, we got to not hide our rice, we got our rice in the cabinet, just for storing. One of them had cracks in it. And it goes to show you how just a little leaven just hiding. So in our lives, we think we can hide just a little leaven. It's going to be sought out. He's going to see it. You know, I can hide it. You can hide it. Pastor can hide it. But remember who we're trying to hide it from. You know? So it's not because we wasn't trying. You know, but it goes to show you how just the smallest little thing that we got to get rid of the small stuff. We're good at getting rid of big things. That's something of no brain. That's the little thing. What the scripture says, it's the little fox and the small divine. You know? Sound like I'm preaching. With these two words being used, it is clear for us to see that which leaven represents, that which leaven represents for us, sin. I asked a couple people already, give me the definition of sin. And you know what they said? When you do something wrong. Well, I know that. What is the definition? And these are believers. And can you even give me the true definition of what it means to sin? Or what's the definition? I said, I know the penalty for it. We all know the penalty. I said, let me tell you what it is. And that's sad for believers. We should know this is kindergarten stuff that we should have learned a long time ago. Especially the sins of pride, which puffs up. That's why he said no leaven. And what did the leaven do? It puffs us up. That which permeates the dough and causes it to rise is not permitted to the grain offering made by fire. It is permissible to eat leavened bread at Shavuot. And this represents the good leaven of the kingdom that Messiah refers to. You know, this part of the leaven part, he don't want you to have it. You know, it's for a purpose. And then he tells you, put it in there. Because now I want to fill you with my leaven, what you need. The leaven that you had full of malice and junk, you got to get rid of that small stuff that's holding you back, that's weighing you down. But now when he tells you, put that leaven back in, this is what we had, brotherly love and kindness. Wow, 5 minutes. This stuff really goes fast, guys. Let me see if I can pull one of his numbers. I told my brother yesterday, I said, Pastor fishes like he teaches the Torah. My brother said, how much fish he got? I said, he only got 60, 70 sheep in. He called me, he had 96. My brother said, I thought you said he only had 70. I said, I didn't give him the 10-minute card. I got to make him a card. Oh, boy, this is some good stuff, y'all. It really is. And I remember that my very first time when we started learning this, I said, boy, I was living on the bayou, and I said, boy, I'm going to make me 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Here I am trying to make bread for the first time ever. Boy, and I don't know nothing about leaven. Boy, that thing swelled up and blowed up. And hey, I made a bread. It was great. However, this remembrance, the last one. However, this remembrance portion being offered up from the grain offering is pictured of Yeshua. being offered up at Passover, at Pesach, Passover, being the sinless and perfect lamb and the perfect word, bread of life, offered up for us, that we are able to partake in the Pesach meal each year as a remembrance. And I cannot wait. Hallelujah. My wife is ordering these. She's ordering my mother-in-law stuff first. And then we're going to get to our stuff. But, man, I can't wait because it's going to be exciting. It's going to be pretty. So start getting your things ready because it's coming. It'll be here before we know it. So I thank y'all for coming out. This was great. Man, we didn't even put a dent in them slides. So get ready for Shabbat Friday night. I'm excited to hear because we had some good moments, good times. So y'all be blessed and see y'all back on Friday.